Our scripture this morning is the 72nd Psalm. Let us listen for God's word for us this morning. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people and the hills in righteousness. May he defend the cause of the poor of the people, give deliverance to the needy, and crush the oppressor. May he live while the sun endures, and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he be like rain that falls on the mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may righteousness flourish and peace abound, until the moon is no more. May he have dominion from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. May his foes bow down before him, and his enemies lick the dust. May the kings of Tarshish and of the isles render him tribute. May the kings of Sheba and Seba bring gifts. May all kings fall down before him, all nations give him service. For he delivers the needy when they call, the poor and those who have no helper. He has pity on the weak and the needy and saves the lives of the needy. From oppression and violence he redeems their life, and precious is their blood in his sight. Long may he live. May gold of Sheba be given to him. May prayer be made for him continually, and blessings invoked for him all day long. May there be an abundance of grain in the land. May it wave on the tops of the mountains. May its fruits be like Lebanon. And may people blossom in the cities like the grass of the field. May his name endure forever. His fame continue as long as the sun. May all nations be blessed in him. May they pronounce him happy. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things. Blessed be his glorious name forever. May his glory fill the whole earth. Amen and amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy God, open our hearts and our minds and our ears for your word for us this morning. May your spirit move in my speaking and in our listening and understanding as you will. Amen. Why couldn't it be July 5th? I've been asking myself this question for the last few weeks. Perhaps it's because that is the day that my wife and I will begin our first vacation in several years. Perhaps it's because preaching any Sunday has its own difficulties, but those are amplified to 100 when it falls on a holiday where there is such deeply felt feelings. You see, it feels like a lose-lose situation for me. For some of you, I will not be patriotic enough. I won't express enough gratitude for the opportunities and freedoms that I enjoy being a part of this country, or show enough respect for the many people who fought and strived and ultimately gave their lives to ensure that I have those freedoms and opportunities. For some of you, I will not look critically enough at the complex and often difficult history of our country. I will not give enough voice to the trauma and violence and guilt and shame that has accompanied this experiment in democracy. I won't lament strongly enough the ways in which injustice has prevailed in the lives of those who were not represented in the room where it happened so many centuries ago. Then there will be folks who question why I even bring up the 4th at all, considering it's not a part of the liturgical calendar, and it would be understandable that even if I couldn't avoid the expectations, I could certainly forego the disappointments by ignoring it altogether. But here I am, to disappoint everyone, by talking about God and kings and America. As we begin our exploration of the Psalms on this July 4th, it only seems appropriate that we start with one for which the subject matter speaks about governance, particularly the role, responsibilities, and blessings of kingship. And since irony has often been a part of Christian style, we will embrace the humor of talking about the role of the king in Scripture on the anniversary of colonists in America formally expressing that they don't need a king. Psalm 72 finds its cadence in the movement between petitions for ideal action by the king and blessings for which the king would deserve. It is this back and forth, the same movement we find in a call and response, which leads us to assume some connection between the two. This connection between action and blessing is indicative of how those in Israel understood their relationship with God. The covenants God makes with different people in the Old Testament are built upon the idea that God is God. And as long as God is glorified and worshiped and God's law is followed, God will bless the people of the covenant, and that will lead to their flourishing. It would make sense then for someone to work backwards and assume that if they see a person flourishing, that it was most likely a sign of that person's fealty to God. Now, the only problem with that way of thinking is that blessing can sometimes be a matter of perspective, and asserting God's seal of approval based on any singular view can lead to the justification of oppression. We need look no further than the idea of manifest destiny here in our history, and the atrocities endured by Native Americans at the hands of God-fearing folk who thought God was blessing them for their faith and punishing the faithless. This is the same mindset that festers at the heart of the prosperity gospel, which contends that if you are faithful to God and can act upon that faith, then God will reward you with blessings, typically worldly items like cars or new jobs or wealth. It's an easy connection to make. It's an even easier connection to assume. And yet, this is not what Psalm 72 says. Instead, the psalmist gives voice to what should be hoped for in a king and what should be hoped for a king, without insisting upon a conditional connection between the two. It leaves the true connection between action and blessing as another mystery known only in full by God. The psalmist petitions to God to give justice and righteousness to the king. These petitions seemingly contradict the fine print description of what a king would do, described in the Samuel text that Emily preached on a few weeks ago. It should be noted that the subscription of Solomon, which is given in this particular psalm, gives us some indication that this psalm was written in a world where there has been more than one king of Israel, with varying degrees of success. Though Samuel's description and what God tells him to tell the people of God seemingly fits the first king Saul like a glove by the end of his reign, it seems to fall short of describing the impact of David and Solomon's reigns which would follow, during which the covenant between God and David is established and a period of great prosperity was enjoyed. Here, the people of God seem to have moved past simply wanting a king like everyone else around them. They have internalized their experiences with the good and the bad of kingship and are requesting a king that acts in the same way as the God who empowers them, as a liberating and life-giving redeemer. The king is a representative agent of God's justice and grace and love, which he models in his actions and which his subjects imitate in their lives. The king becomes a teacher to his subjects, just as God is the king's teacher. But what does all of this talk of kings mean for us in this country that has never had one? As our youth would say, the answer is probably Jesus. And in some way, that is right. John Calvin describes the three offices of Christ as prophet, priest, and king. And ultimately, the ideal king described here by the psalmist has been given to us already in Christ. As pastors are known to say, that will always preach. However, on top of that, I think Psalm 72 invites us to ask, what more can we ask for from God when it comes to how we govern ourselves and other people? If Christ is the king and our hearts are his courts, then what more can we ask for so that our lives are more representative of the love of God than they already are? I recently reread the children's story about the mouse who wants a cookie. You know that one. If you give a mouse a cookie, it's going to want some milk, right? And though I have only ever considered what an inconvenience that mouse becomes with each additional request, and how this story serves as a warning against the assumption of isolated actions, my reading of this particular psalm led me to read that story in a different way. What if the giver of the cookie wanted the mouse to want more? What if the giver of the cookie knew and hoped that the mouse wouldn't be satisfied with just getting what it wanted and would dare to dream to ask for more if it led to the mouse becoming a better giver itself? Israel asked for a king like everyone else, and they got their fine print king. But God didn't just rub it in their faces. God didn't say, "I told you so," and spite them. God enters into a covenant with David, establishing a dynasty that would endure for all time, encouraging the people to want more from their king than they had thought to consider before. If today you find yourself overwhelmed with patriotism and love of country, maybe it is the perfect time to ask yourself, what more might God want for you, for your community, or for this nation? If you find the nationalism and pride of today to be disenchanting, given the prominence of injustice across the history of this country continuing into today, maybe it is the perfect time to ask yourself what more God might want for you, for your community, and for this nation. I think God wants more for us and more from us. I think God wants us to want more for and from ourselves as well. More justice, more righteousness, more courage to set the example, more conviction to leave behind comfort for equality, more creativity to imagine new and renewed ministries in a world that has changed dramatically in the last 15 months. The psalmist concludes with a doxology saying, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who alone does wondrous things." I hope you heard that. Wondrous things. Invitations to wonder. Maybe wonder what more. May it be so for us today. Amen.